Good morning. May 2nd, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's edition touches on public messaging, lived experience, and a pair of funding deadlines that are coming up fast on May 4th. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. We'll start with two media items to watch. Filter Magazine reports on a California public health campaign about vaping under the headline, "People who vape are lab rats," says California public health campaign. And from Kansas City, Missouri, KansasCity.com looks at how kratom politics shaped the outcome of a Justice Department case. Together, those pieces point to how public narratives and legal framing can shape substance use policy long before formal legislation appears. On the social side, one lived experience post from Stacy Kess on Blue Sky makes a direct harm reduction argument. The post says, "Dead people don't get clean," and argues that any recovery journey starts by staying alive, while recognizing that many different journeys can follow from there. A couple of innovation-focused posts stand out as well. One post on X from Rib Gone Rogue highlights a plan to prioritize new data systems to monitor drug consumption in real time through a national wastewater-based monitoring system and biosurveillance. Another post from Zeli Imani focuses on naloxone kiosks that hold free doses of the overdose reversal medication, with an emphasis on increasing access, reducing stigma, and helping reduce overdose fatalities among Black and Brown residents. That second item is especially concrete because it points to a visible access tool, not just a message about awareness. There is also a clearer debate in the discourse posts. Zeli Imani again highlights naloxone kiosks as a harm reduction tool. In contrast, a post from The Mind Cipher on X criticizes Governor Newsom's support for Proposition 47 and harm reduction over enforcement, framing those policies as a cause of severe fentanyl-related harms in San Francisco. That gives you one example of opposition messaging around harm reduction, alongside explicit support for overdose prevention access. In research, one new study on PubMed examines displacement and the disruption of drug use patterns and risks among people living with HIV in two urban neighborhoods. Another paper in Harm Reduction Journal looks at how survivors of exploitation who use drugs navigate systems of care using an intersectional risk environment lens. And a third PubMed-listed study focuses on culturally adapting overdose education programs, with recommendations from Black Americans with lived experience of opioid and stimulant use. That last finding could be useful for programs reviewing whether overdose education materials actually reflect the communities they serve. A few funding opportunities are current right now. The Bureau of Justice Assistance has the fiscal year 2025 Comprehensive Opioid, Stimulant, and Substance Use Site-Based Program, with a deadline of May 4, 2026. The Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention has the Fiscal Year 2025 Opioid Affected Youth Initiative, also due on May 4, 2026. And the Bureau of Justice Assistance has a separate Fiscal Year 2025 COSUP Investigations Training and Technical Assistance Opportunity, with a deadline of May 8, 2026. The May 4th deadlines are especially close, so those may need immediate attention. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version.
Finally, there are two advocacy items. The Treatment Advocacy Center is calling for comments on the HUD work requirements and term limits rule. And the National Alliance to End Homelessness is inviting registrations for a budget advocacy webinar on federal homelessness funding. If that webinar is relevant to your work, registering early may be the simplest next step to keep it on your calendar. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.